And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. I mean, this show runs down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville. We got Tuscaloosa over to Gadsden. And like I said earlier, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Listen, I got to tell you real quickly, too. Got a couple of texts on the Tulsi Gabbard thing we just talked about briefly a moment ago. Somebody, where did that go? Darn it. First of all, Paul from Athens is bringing it to our attention also. And then Juan from Newmarket says she's a Joe Manchin moderate. She is not yet red-pilled. So there's that. We have another one. Daryl from Huntsville said he thinks she's sneaky. Don't trust her. I said trust has to be earned. His response was boom. So, yeah. And then my wife just texted in. Charlene just texted in and said she thinks that Tulsi Gabbard, from her recollection, is much more of an isolationist, could not possibly see her teaming up with Cheney, Liz Cheney. That's all out there right now. That's a quick response to a short topic, so that's interesting. I think this is going to get some legs. We'll see what happens. Coming on right now, my friend Stephanie Smith. She's the principal at the Thatcher Coalition. She has been on the show multiple times. She even guest-hosted the show not long ago, which was awesome. She's a graduate of Auburn University, a master's in public administration from UAB. She's done a ton of work in governmental affairs, knows Montgomery in and out, and she wrote a piece today that was exactly in line with what I was doing for my monologue. And I thought, you know what? What is she doing today? I'm going to see what she's got at 2:30. Well, here she is. She's on the line. Hey, Stephanie, how you doing?
Hey, Phil. Good to see you, talk to you. It's funny because it's like traveling. Once you've been a place and then you see it like in a movie or something, you're like, I've been there. And so I'm sitting here like visualizing where you are now that I've been there.
I'm sitting in your chair. That's right. Yeah, we were in studio. I got back from being in court, and Stephanie was sitting in the main seat for the broadcast. And I just sat in the guest seat and enjoyed it.
You did, but if you remember, you sat in the small chair.
Oh, yeah, Stephanie, we got rid of the small chair.
Did you?
I didn't realize I'd been putting my guests in like the tiny chair until I sat in it myself, and so we took care of that.
Sometimes you got to be a man in somebody else's shoes before you realize what it's like.
Yes.
Or somebody else's boots, as your case.
Maybe so. Hey, by the way, Stephanie, before we jump into the topic, I got to ask you, we've got a new word. My secretary at the law firm introduced us to a new word that we have been having a great time with. Have you ever heard the word cacistocracy?
I have not. I'm going to need a definition on that.
You're going to want this definition. So cacistocracy, real word, is spelled K-A-K-I-S-T-O-C-R-A-C-Y, cacistocracy. It is defined as a government run by the least competent members of that society.
It's the village idiot society. Yeah, I mean, that's basically what we're saying.
I guess. Or it's the leadership.
But that spelling, it seems like it might be like a Russian outpost or something. You know, like when USSR broke up and then there were all these countries that nobody could pronounce or spell. That's what it sounds like.
Yes, we have the Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, and the Kakistocracy stand.
Exactly.
That's right. hey, listen, I did a whole segment yesterday on whether or not the legislature will, in fact, do any kind of tax relief. I had State Representative mm-hmm. Arnold Mooney on the show to talk about it. You know, mm-hmm. Arnold's one of the more fiscally conservative members of the body down there. And then today...
He is my representative.
He is your representative. That's right. And mm-hmm. then today, I just felt like I couldn't leave it alone. I had to stay with the topic, and I did my monologue on this. I called it Show Me the Money, based on the Jerry Maguire scene.
Yes.
And then you wrote your piece today, which I looked at 1819 News, called Stop Taxation Gaslighting in Alabama. Your thoughts, are we going to see any tax relief? What are you thinking?
I would like to say yes. The cynic in me, or maybe the experienced politico in me, says no. What I'm hearing from legislators, I haven't talked to the governor, but what I'm hearing from legislators is that really what they would like to do is some sort of one-time, not even a pause or a one-time tax cut, but a rebate check kind of thing. To me, that's a little Biden-esque.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a, hey, this is our money, and we're going to keep it, and we're going to keep the structure in place, but we'll give you peons a few, you know, coins here and there to keep you happy.
Yeah.
And so I struggle with that philosophically and also, honestly, fiscally, just because it's bad policy. If they're bringing too much money in, and it's pretty clear that they are.
Yeah.
I understand the hesitation with not knowing where the economy is going, but the truth is, you know, financial matters are in past tense, and the fiscal year just finished, and they've got at least $2.2 billion more than they thought they were going to have.
Wow.
And that's in addition to all the savings accounts.
Well,
so,
I look at it too, and the reality is they're not allowed to just harbor money by law. I mean, they have certain reserve accounts they can put money in, but even that's capped. They've got to have an appropriation or an earmark, or they have to pass a new act to allow them to shelter money differently than what they currently do. So they can't just keep it. They've got to do something with it.
That's exactly right. And when you were down there, you know, the rainy day fund and some of the other savings accounts, there are half a dozen names of them, putting trust fund money into certain accounts, protecting it, having that grow. All of that is financially responsible. But where we are now is, in my view, financially irresponsible, which is state government is flush with cash. It's growing at a huge clip, almost 40% in the past 4 years. Every state employee has gotten multiple raises. Every state education employee has got multiple raises. And so it's one of those things that state government is flush, but that doesn't mean the citizens that are writing the checks for their taxes are flush. And so to me, there's a disconnect here between state government and the citizens that fund the state.
Yeah. And by the way, you and I are not banding about an idea that's not being done in other places. We're the only southeastern state that has not done some truly measurable form of across-the-board tax relief. I mean, some of them have been temporary, like you know, sort of a short-term or a quarterly relief from the gas tax in Georgia and in Florida. But then, like Mississippi, did a complete rework of their state income tax. And
they did. And some of them did a both and, meaning in Georgia, they did the pause on the gas tax, I think, and renewed it 5 or 6 times because gas prices are still so high. And then also now they're reworking some of their tax policy as well. And so some have done a pause, some have done a reform, and some of them have done a pause and reform. But we're basically the only ones who have done nothing.
Yeah. And to hear them talk about it. Well, we just don't know if we can do that right now. When can you do it then? I mean, go ahead.
I agree with you. And with the rainy day accounts, I mean, I'm not advocating spending down to zero. Although I will say, you know, if COVID is not a rainy day, if closing down our entire state, including, you know, churches and schools and whatnot, is not a rainy day, I'm not sure what a rainy day is.
Yeah.
So those funds are set aside for when the citizens have a rainy day, not when state government has a rainy day. And it seems like there, again, there's a disconnect here on who is in charge. And so in a representative government, we are supposed to be in charge. But financially, in Montgomery, what it feels like right now is they're making sure that state government can be whole plus some, and then they'll think about maybe, you know, giving the citizens or the taxpayers, you know, a little pat on the back just to be nice. And that's not only a disconnect, but it's a wrong way of looking at government.
Well, it is. It's as if the government by the people is to be done in spite of the people is what it feels like. And it's a, truth be told, I mentioned earlier in my monologue, they are not only flush with cash in terms of, you know, existing revenue streams, but they've had so much one-time money. And I know one-time money can be scary. In government, you got to be careful because one-time money can create a false sense of security that you don't necessarily have going forward. But you can use that one-time money as one-time major tax relief. Like the amount of money they spent in the extra appropriations this past year from the COVID relief funds.
Right.
Our own attorney general is the one who fought the fight to give them the ability to use that for tax relief if they wanted to, and they didn't even think about it, not even once.
Didn't even discuss it.
No.
Really did not even discuss it in the halls of the legislature. And, again, it's back to that fundamental question of whose money is this? It's not their money to spend willy-nilly. It's our money that we're sending there so that our representatives spend it in the way that we would want them to. And if there's too much, it should be a given that it's returned to who sent it. That should be just a given in a Republican supermajority state with a Republican, just literally every single state elected official is a Republican. And so you've got people from the outside looking at us and saying, oh, I mean, please, I mean, on Twitter and whatnot, oh, you're from Alabama. What are you complaining about? Y'all are a low tax state. Well, here's the thing. Everybody else is outpacing us with the tax cuts.
Yeah.
And so historically, we have been a low tax state. It's the way we got a lot of really good industry, besides having really good, hardworking people and very good resources, natural resources in the state. But being a low tax state is something that you have to look at the peers to see whether or not we are. And literally everyone else is outpacing us on this. 32 states have done tax cuts, and a lot of those are not even Republican states. Literally every Republican state has done something, and we've done nothing.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about corporate income tax rates, sales tax rates, individual income tax rates. I mean, it's across the board. You're finding literally every other state doing something. Now, some of them, like we said, have been temporary, but here's what's kind of galling, too, when you look at it. So Governor Ivey came out last week and said she supports the idea of maybe doing a a one-time rebate type payment. Well, that's what Governor Gavin Newsom of California is doing.
That's exactly right.
Come on.
That's exactly right. And the state of Alabama's state government has grown at a rate larger than the state of California has since Newsom has been governor, as Kay Ivey has been governor. How about that? And that is an unbelievable statement. I mean, I think if you did one of those man on the street things, if I walked outside of my house and up and down my neighborhood and asked the question, you know, who is leading in a more liberal manner, Kay Ivey or Gavin Newsom, you know, 9.9 out of 10 would say Gavin Newsom, but they're not right.
Kekistocracy. that's where we are. It's a kekistocracy. Oh, my gosh.
Well, and it's interesting, too, because with the gas tax specifically, when Biden pressed the pause button and people asked Governor Ivey if she was going to also press the pause button because, you know, next door in Georgia they were, and Florida, DeSantis did.
Right.
Tate did, and in Mississippi. And it's one of those things, you know, it's a natural question to be like, hey, everybody else around you is doing this, and you just passed this. Are you going to press the pause button too? And she kind of laughed it off and said that was a gimmick. And it's one of those things that is not a gimmick to people filling up their trucks. That is not a gimmick to people driving across town trying to find cheaper gas. It's not a gimmick. It's day-to-day life.
Yeah.
And so is buying groceries. A huge inflationary period.
I think part of that, too, was the fear that if she did it, it would bring it to the forefront of conversations during the primary season, because that's the most recent thing they did in terms of taxes, was to actually raise taxes, which is to add a dime per gallon onto what we're paying right now at the pump. Anyway. Well, Stephanie, you are spot on as always. I appreciate you making some time this afternoon.
Well, it is my pleasure, and I always tell you when we're on the same wavelength, that should scare you a whole lot.
True. All right. Well, let's make sure the kakistocracy stays honest.
Anyway. I'm going to have to ask for that spelling again before I use that in a sentence.
I'll text it to you. All right.
Okay,
all right, my friend. You take care. Have a great day.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks. All right, Boomer, take us to a break, brother. We'll do that. We'll come right back. In the meantime, I got to text her the spelling of kakistocracy so she's got it for her records, because I'm pretty sure she's going to use it somewhere soon. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Moving to the triple dipper here in a moment. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. Got a bunch of folks on the text line. Text line is going just explosively today, Boomer. You got a boom sound for me? You got an explosion? Go good. Text line. that's where we are. James from Harvest, listening to the interview there a minute ago with Stephanie Smith, says, "Oh my Lord, I wish she would run for governor." So says 2 months in, and she's brilliant. She is. She's sharp as a tack, man. Juan from Newmarket texted in again and said, "Stephanie Smith is all over the target. Alabama's a Republican state, not a conservative state." Indeed, you are correct, sir. What else we got here? Daryl from Huntsville texted in and said, "Yeah, without real leadership from the governor supporting this tax cut idea, legislators will just slow roll it, never act on it." I agree with that. And then he said, "And as y'all said, Kay," meaning Governor Ivey, "just lip serviced support for any tax relief idea, and I won't read the rest of his text." Okay, there's that. And then moving on, Cliff. We got Cliff from, where's he from? Athens? Yeah, Cliff from Athens. That's right. Cliff, glad to have you in. Says he's been with us since the show began. So he's officially our right side ruffian. And then, Brian from Huntsville, with regards to the fact that they're talking about sending out tax or not, you know, like rebate checks to citizens. He points out, which is true, by the way. And by the way, those are Republicans in Montgomery making that decision. It is. He says, "Sad to remind everyone, me owning a right side ruffian shirt," he says, "but George Bush sent out stimulus checks. Looking back, perhaps I should not have denied it out of honor." And then, you know what? I said, true that. It's a bipartisan bad idea. Rebate checks. I mean, all that is just like flipping some Benjamins out there and hoping people will feel like that was enough. And in a recession, when you've already had government dollars flooding the market, then what you're doing is you're putting cash flow in, but you have not done anything yet to sustain the level of spend that people are going to maybe potentially want to have. So you're giving increased spending opportunity, but you're doing nothing to truly benefit the long term, nothing to benefit the economy, if you will. And so when you've got that, that's what creates recession. That's why inflation happens. That's because when you have an increased opportunity for spend with a reduced capability for supply, but yet demand is high because the spend is there, then you are literally looking at prices going up. Supply and demand, market principles, 101. And we're looking at right now just basically throwing more money at it. The better thing to do is to make things more affordable, which helps drive the market into a different direction. It brings prices down. When you reduce sales tax, when you reduce the burden on the consumer, you have freed them up as opposed to just giving them something and they have to go into the same choked off supply and demand situation to spend the money you sent them. You're flooding the market with money, but you have not done anything to reduce the burden. Anyway, you hear me. I'm saying it again over and over again. But the bottom line is this. Rebates, okay, cool. You did something. But rebates are really kind of the cheap way out if you get down to it. There is a better way. And the better way is to take the high road, take the brave road, take the courageous stand. Go ahead and say, we are Republicans, and by God, our party platform is tax relief. Our party platform is low taxation, small government. We're not supposed to be big spend and grow government type Republicans. We're not. We're in Alabama. It's like we have purple politics in a red state. That's what we've got right now. And granted, we do some great things. We have tons of economic opportunity. We have great opportunities for growth. We have the ability to do far more than we're doing. We have capabilities here that most states just dream of having. And we have major industry that's here. And we have the best people. And we have the natural resources, and we have, socially speaking, we put some of the best laws in place. But when it comes to fiscal conservatism, the current legislative process seems to have lost sight of that. And we need some fiscal hawks to have some leadership opportunities. And you know what? If you're not in leadership, go hold your own freaking press conference. You can do it. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We're coming right back with number one on the Triple Dipper, Border Pain. We'll be right back.